Crowder wide open for three. Count them all. As he hits from downtown. Crowder, yet another tray. And Miami's going to take another timeout. Gooder off to Bam. Bam, top of the circle to Jay Rich. Jay Rich, wide open look from 18, and he's got it up and in. Josh Richardson for Miami. He's got 7 points. Crowder back to Gobert, top of the circle to Crowder. Crowder dishes to Korver, trying to free up Korver for three, and they do. Shot, got it. Korver from downtown. So that'll be number three from beyond the arc. He's got 13 points now. So back with it now. Will come O'Neal, goes right side for the Jazz. Up top, Korver looking for three. There you go, Korver. Putting salt in the wound. 95-53, a season high for Korver, now 16 points. So Miami ends this ball game on a 17-2 run, but there was so much damage done as the clock runs out that the Heat could just not overcome the Utah Jazz in this one. The final score, Utah 111 and Miami 84.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye.
Well, then don't say goodbye.
But the dawn is breaking.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, there's another goodbye. We got another one of our coaches, Manny Diaz, the defensive coordinator for the Miami Hurricanes, on his way to be the head football coach at Temple. Sign the papers, and we'll have a press conference today at 3 o'clock as he takes over. I'm sure it's more money and going to run his own show. First time to be the head coach. And, boy, just another little stinger. Although, I'm happy for Manny. I listen, that's what you work for. Like, you know, it's not like he left. He wanted to get out of here because his teams were bad or anything else. He had great success. He went while he was hot, and he doesn't want to be. He's a young guy, and he wants to be a head coach. It's a great opportunity. And honestly, we've seen so many guys go to Temple and then get better jobs.
That's right.
Have a good year or two, yep, and you're gone.
Yeah, the number two defense overall in the country last year behind Michigan. His resume is packed. He was going to get a job eventually, or at least be offered jobs eventually. And boom. There it is.
Well, I think he was ready. I mean, he's been doing this defensive coordinator thing different places, and a lot of people don't realize all the different places he's been to already.
I think he's been a defensive coordinator 12 years.
Well,
12 seasons.
He has,
yeah.
And, you know, he's been doing this a long time. He's been three or four different universities. So, hey, man, it's a great opportunity for him, and he gets to take over here right before the early national signing day.
He's got to leave one thing here, though, right, in the locker room here?
Yeah, the turnover chain.
Yeah, he can't take that.
No, he's not taking
that. Oh, no, I'm just saying, he can't have something like that there. Just leave it alone.
When he worked there.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that thing was made for South Florida and for the Canes and everything else, but they do need to find a guy that plays that same style and has that same kind of passion and everything else that we saw from Manny Diaz that made him such a good coach and is aggressive, you know, plays for losses and all the great numbers that he put up with sacks and interceptions and everything else they were. And, of course, just overall all the takeaways their defense was able to get. So, anyway, now it's for Mark Richt, it's about saving what you can and trying to add some guys and sell them on the U and getting guys to stay or adding some new guys. And we'll see what that thing looks like next week is the early national signing day, which is a big one. There's two of them now, but that first one, man, you want to get those guys locked down and basically get them to sign, you know, the letter, which is a contract saying I'm coming. So that's where the University of Miami is right now on that. And I'm guessing Mark Richt's known about this for a couple of days, so he's had a chance to start working on who he wants. I guess Manny made pretty good money here. It wasn't like he wasn't making good money. But it's you get a chance to be the head coach, and you're going to a good team, a Temple team that was 8-4. It's just a good situation for Manny to put his own system in, put his own name on it, and everything else, whoever he brings. He knows a lot of guys around the country and gets some guys to come in, some young guys, and see how they do. Other story coming out of Salt Lake City last night, and it was ugly early. A little bit like some of my dates a long time ago, man. But I will tell you, 111-84, they lose to Utah. 33 points in the first half. And at one point, they were down 42 points. Eric Spoelstra called it by far their worst game of the year.
Yeah, I would say that.
We'd all agree. Yeah.
Joe, the end of the first quarter was 40-15. It was 40-15 after one.
They were down 90-something to 50-something there. I mean, it was, you know, you were shutting it down looking for guys at the end of the bench at that point. And even talking about a nice run in the fourth quarter, and that's just still making it an ugly 27-point loss.
It was so bad at halftime, by the way, that during the halftime break, they re-looked at one of the shots and gave Utah an extra point.
Oh, God.
Like, you know, it was one of those where it was a 2-3 point shot.
Yeah, that's
so
that's
even
not
at
good.
Halftime, you lost a point. That's how bad it was last night. Just one of those nights, but they just got blown out from the start. It wasn't close at all.
Now that goes. Zion Williamson slamming it home.
Stop trying for Zion. I'm in. I'm all in.
So you guys got to, you guys keep, I know you guys want Zion to be down here, but
yes.
You guys got to. We got to get a lot worse, number one.
We're getting there.
Because nobody apparently wants that eighth position in the East.
No,
and it's bad.
Right.
As bad as things are, what are we, a game out of the East? And we're going, man, this team's really bad. And you're going, you're a game out of – if you do anything at all, you're going to stagger into the seventh or eighth spot.
You're right.
In the Eastern Conference right now. Now
I mean, think about like that 7, 8, 9, 10 right now, Detroit. Is sitting at the 7 spot, or even Charlotte to 6 at 14-13. But Orlando right now is the 8th seed in the East at 12-15.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's ugly.
It's going to be ugly at the bottom there. So, listen, the Miami Heat got a long way to go to catch Phoenix for all those extra ping pong balls and some other teams that are really struggling.
Chicago, Atlanta, Cleveland, New York.
But the big problem is, and I know everybody wants to suck and – But it's about ping pong balls in the NBA. It's just it's a weighted system through, you know, percentages and everything else. But I mean, they got it. There's just no way. There's no way this franchise will tank games, and they won't do it. Just it's not going to happen.
Well, the way they're playing, they don't even need to tank. Just play their normal game.
No. But they're even. Come on, Zach. You know, even if they were to play bad, they're not going to be as bad as four or five of these teams in the NBA.
It's just, hard to be as bad as Atlanta or Phoenix or one of these
and
teams.
Give it a
right
shot.
Now.
Yeah. They stop, did last night.
Stop trying for Zion.
You end up running. You'll run a fan base right out of town, man. I get what you guys want, and you guys are having fun, and it's cute.
Not really having fun as
bro,
much as
be playing in all
no,
pink
no. But
jerseys.
You guys are having a little fun. And
50 on the
oh,
road.
Let me tell you something. Those jerseys need to disappear.
Yeah.
Even the players were trying to be nice about the new Sunset Vice jerseys.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they look like the way they're playing right now. Mm. Last night they should have had them on. Last night. Last night would have been a good night instead of wearing those December 26th, 28th, and the 30th of this month.
Feels like a pig move, doesn't it? Like they didn't sell enough of the black ones?
Yeah, I mean, but they hit a home run on the other ones. Like the other ones everybody was in love with, and these. And
oh, these will sell out too, don't worry.
You listen to all the players. Like, hey, what do you feel? Oh, you know, well.
Got to be politically correct before you answer that, sir.
Yeah, they're all being real careful.
Trying to, yeah.
Yeah, they were. Everybody's being real careful. They are brutal to wear. I mean, those would be brutal for that basketball team to wear. And they got to wear them 3 times.
Oh. It's bad.
Those are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Though I don't know. Maybe some people like them. If you've seen the Sunset Vice jerseys. They're going to wear them 3 times.
And they're interesting.
I call them pink uniforms. I don't
know
what the actual, if there's another color or whatever, but they are.
It's bad.
They're brutal.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the Heat have hit on about everything they've done as far as uniforms go and, you know, and trying to catch the flavor of South Florida and our culture and all that stuff that everybody talks about. And, of course, the Marlins were accused of stealing some of the coloring, uniform coloring and all this from the Heat, but. These are bad. They don't have to worry about the Marlins or anybody else taking that color. That you're
you have
on
your it.
Own.
You can have it.
That looks like a 4-win team. You wear those. You start
no,
wearing
it.
Those. Those are
that's
those,
a stop trying for Zion jersey.
Ooh, those are brutal.
Yeah.
Those are rough. By the way, got all kinds of stuff going on here. A lot of stuff to get to besides Manny Diaz. We'll have more stuff coming up on the Miami Hurricanes defensive coordinator going to Temple. He'll have his press conference today at 3:00. And the Heat losing, they're now got a couple more games left on this road trip. But, of course, that was an ugly one last night, as everybody probably knows by now. So I'm watching NFL Network yesterday, and they're going through all the teams. And now they're pretty much talking about all the teams that are in the hunt and all these good games coming up and talking about the Chargers and Chiefs tonight and everything else. And one of the NFL Network hosts said, "How is this Miami Dolphin roster 7-6? And I went, "Wow, that's a great point." Like, I don't know. Their defense is 29th in the NFL. Their offense is 29th. They're damn near rock bottom in about every category possible.
You're right.
No, in about every category. Yeah. So when people go, "Well, don't read into those." No. Their numbers are bad. And they're bottom third in just about everything, man. You go through it, third down and plays per game. You can even go to the things that are important to coaches, like how many plays you get in and how you're doing on third down and scoring in the – I mean, the numbers are bad. They're bad across the board.
They're sitting there in the playoff hunt right there.
And they're sitting there at 7-6. Everybody knows about the injuries and everything else, but they are 7-6. And they were talking about how are they 7-6 with this roster. So it led me to this. Is it more about the 10 guys that are on IR and a few guys that have been banged up and in and out of the lineup, like your quarterback, Ryan Tannehill? Or is it just about the guys actually on this roster? Like, still not a very good roster. It's still not a championship-style roster. It's still got a long ways to go. So you kind of go through everything and you realize, like, yeah, it's still got a ways to go. Even healthy, it's still got to be upgraded in a lot of areas.
Yeah, you're right.
You agree with that,
I do,
right?
100%. And that it is a great question, because what on this team right now, I mean, you look at the other teams, especially the ones in the playoffs right now in the AFC, and you see the superstars on their teams. Where are those guys on the Dolphins right now? You know what I mean? Like, where are those guys leading this team? And it's really hard to find it. It's 1 week this guy or 1 week that guy that has a decent game, but they're about as inconsistent as possible, yet they're 7-6 and sitting there with a win or two away from and a loss or two away from other teams of sitting there in the sixth seed.
Yeah.
It really is remarkable. It really is, even though it's in the outlook of everything when you look at it, it looks like a pretty bad season because of the way they've been playing and the bad two losses and this and that. 7-6. Sneaking in the bottom of the playoff hunt.
Well, one of the saving graces of this team has been the 25 takeaways by the defense.
That certainly helps.
Third in the NFL, but that's it. I mean, usually you go across the numbers, there is some really brutal numbers on both sides of the football.
Well, you said it, 29th in two of the biggest categories you got to be in, dead last almost.
Yeah, but you know sometimes. Sometimes things can be misleading on certain numbers, but you break
on both
them,
of those.
You break them down. Well, very seldom somebody got a winning record when they're almost dead last in offense and defense. That doesn't happen. We have seen the Patriots with bad numbers on defense,
one side, but not both. Yeah, that's it.
But anyway, we got to go to break here. Got a lot of stuff to get to. Boy, we had a former wide receiver look like he was finally going to get into the playoffs. And it came to an end yesterday. We got to talk about that. And, hey, by the way, college football might be making a move. And I think a lot of folks out there are really going to like it. We'll have all those stories for you coming up here in the 6 o'clock hour.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Better, but I'm encouraged by how it feels. It's gotten better every day, and actually moving around today at practice, some of the swelling was worked out of it. So definitely feel encouraged by where things are at. Yeah, I mean, that's the NFL. Obviously, something that we need to improve upon. Obviously, haven't played up to our standards on the road. You know, had a couple opportunities, but haven't been able to finish it off. So definitely something we look forward to correcting this week. Nothing too crazy. A lot of people reaching out. A ton of text messages, but you know, nothing, not that many actually. You know, I watched it, I didn't see it. I saw it after the game, on a little short clip of it, and then watched it on Monday, and I don't think I've seen it since. But, you know, it's something I'll never forget for sure. Not really. You know, I'm not really worried about that right now. Honestly, just trying to turn the page and get ready for Minnesota. You know, it was a pretty high there, and, you know, a lot of hoopla around it. But at the end of the day, we still have a lot of work to do in this season, and we have to be able to turn the page and move forward to Minnesota. So I think actually guys have done a really good job of that, you know, today. And, you know, I expect that to keep going throughout this week. And I think after the season's over, then we can take a look back and reminisce.
All right, Ryan Tannehill, I do agree with one thing, man. We've seen that play so much and everybody calling you. And I've had more calls from people going, dude, that was unbelievable. I never seen a play like that. Everybody that's had a chance to see it 250 times that it's been shown over the last couple of days.
I can't get enough of it.
You gotta move on. I actually caught the end of the game on NFL Network last night. So I called my daughter and I go, hey, there's a couple plays. They just kicked it off. Balazs runs it back to the 31. Yeah, I go, hey, here it is. I said, here's the real copy on CBS. And we were watching. It was just, you know,
so you got to hear the TV where Ian Eagle after the snap is like, all right, well, this will do it.
Yeah.
Like he I mean, it's everyone thought it was over at that point when they snapped the ball.
It was unbelievable because now you've seen it so much, you're looking for
You
other
know what's
things.
Happening. Yeah, you want to look
Kenyon,
for other things.
I didn't realize Kenyon Drake right away did an interview with CBS and, you know, and all the stuff on the sideline. So it was cool. But, hey, man, it's time to move on here. We're on Thursday. Matter of fact, the team's traveling out tomorrow. And to get zoned in on the Minnesota Vikings, we're actually going to check in the 8 o'clock hour. Sage Rosenfels, former quarterback with the Miami Dolphins, writing for The Athletic in Minnesota.
Does a podcast for the Vikings. He's as in with the Vikings as possible right now. And it's good because I just want to ask him about the $84 million man, because he looks like yesterday in a press conference, I'm taking ownership for everything that's happening in the offense, and that's what you want your quarterback to do. But the problem is when you give a guy that much money, you just hope he doesn't have one of those press conferences.
Well, listen.
Where he's got to take ownership for how bad the offense has been.
But I think – but you have to. Like the coach and the quarterback, highest paid guys, got to stand up and say, you know, we got to play better. I mean, it's pretty obvious the offense – their offense has been really bad. And you want to talk about underachieving.
Oh, way underachieving.
With all the really good players they've had. And, of course, last year they were real close to going to the NFC Championship game. Real close. So, anyway, yeah, that's that was going on. Ryan trying to get all the guys zoned in and get everybody going. Meanwhile – we were wondering when it was finally going to happen and start to pick up some steam, and it's official, man. It looks like UCF, who's been crying and pouting and screaming over there, we should be in the playoffs. We should be in the playoffs. A lot of people agree, right? Anyway, now there's a lot of people in the Power Five conferences saying we need to go to an 8-team college football playoff, which I got no problem with it.
No.
If they do it, I'm glad we got to four, because for a long time, I never thought I was going to see four. And now, trying to figure out and get it to work, and I know what the Power Five conferences want. They want to make sure at least one team gets in, no matter what the record is. Whoever wins the conference championship game gets in, and then you do whatever you want with the other three. But we want to make sure.
It would really be the other two, right? Because Notre Dame's going to always have that spot.
Well, if they're
as long as they're good, they're just going to be kind of guaranteed that spot.
Yeah. Well, if they're undefeated or they've got strength of schedule working for them, but I'm like everybody else. I wish they join a conference and go under the same rules and regulations of everybody else. But
little automatic berth for your Pac-12.
Well, no. Listen, it's going to be one team, all five conferences. Yeah. We'll get one in, no matter what their record is. That's what they're going to be pushing for. So if it's an off year, like it is right now for the Pac-12, they would still be able to get. In this case, if we're doing it this year, Washington would get in after beating Utah in their conference game, and then you get three of the best teams, and that allows a team like UCF or anybody else, or the old Boise State teams, or anybody that's happened to be a really good team, or Utah State, who's also been really good. Any one of those teams you can throw in there if they're ranked high enough, and then you can add extras from any of your favorite conferences, and that way Georgia gets in, and everybody's happy.
So you'd add this year Ohio State, Georgia, UCF, Michigan? or Washington would get it over Washington, Michigan, right?
Because
that would be the automatic one, basically?
For everybody to sign off on this, all five conferences.
Okay, so Washington would be the five because they'd be the other
They're the one that shouldn't be in.
Yes, exactly. Then UCF, Georgia, and then you'd have Ohio State?
Probably.
Yeah.
That's probably how
Ohio
it would
State
go.
Beats Michigan twice. another win for Ohio State.
So anyway, that's the way you probably have it. And by the way, we're still going to have teams bitching, right?
Sure, of course.
You're like, wait a second. How are we not in? And so you're never going to have, no matter what you do. Listen, we got 64 teams that go into the big dance for basketball, and they still bitch. They're still like, oh,
was it 68?
Or well, the final.
They even did that to give other guys games, and they're still bitching.
But we still have teams that bitch. And,
of course,
you know, we had strength of schedule, and we lost, but we played a lot of really good teams, and all the other stuff.
What's the worst thing you want to hear if you're trying to get into this playoff or trying to get into the NCAA tournament? First out.
Yeah.
Like the first four out, you know what I mean? Instead of the last the first four out.
That's a tough road. All right, so the other thing going out, and this thing has grown, and boy, I'll tell you what, through the years, I never, ever thought the NFL draft would. And by the way, it's the king, no matter what the other sports do, no matter how popular they are, they will never catch. And one thing, and I'm not here to say that the NFL is going to be the most popular sport the rest of my life. I don't know that, and I'm not going to sit here and say it is. But I will tell you one thing. It is a king of the offseason, and its draft is clearly not even close, not even in the same city, not even in the same area code, what they've been able to do with their draft compared to the other big sports, big professional sports. They've turned into a party where cities now bid on it, want to get in on it. They want to have it where you got a chance to bring a couple hundred thousand people in town who want to sit around and watch the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round of the NFL drafts.
It's a good excuse, though, to get to Vegas for a couple days now, though, right?
Yeah, no. I got no problem
for work. Like for work, I got to go for work to Vegas for 4 days.
I don't have a problem with getting Vegas. And Vegas, you're right, Zach. Vegas is a great place to have it.
Yeah, of course.
I totally agree. My other problem is just this commissioner. He's such a fraud. A couple years ago, and he didn't want gambling, and he didn't want the Indian casinos around.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want any of that and this. And
now they got the draft
like,
in
come
Vegas.
Come on, man. The thing's in Vegas. Like, you finally just – Vegas offered to buy you a brand-new stadium. They built it, and you jumped on it so fast
to get
out of there. And now all of a sudden there's no problems. It's been very successful for their NHL team there, and so now all of a sudden, I mean, we're going all in. They're getting one of the off-season draft parties, 2020. They get it after Nashville. We'll have it this year, and then the team will be there. So somebody brought it up, like, oh, that would be great. All those young players that have a chance to get drafted.
Spend
a couple of nights hanging in Vegas.
Because you know how, like, we see it, you know, are you going to head to the draft? You're going to sit in the green room, your first-round pick. There's going to be a lot of guys, right, that fly in, like, late the night before or early that morning instead of spending 3 days before that in Vegas. Like, it's going to be dangerous for a couple guys.
Well,
I mean, they're going to be sitting there with their agents and family and stuff
I'm
like that.
I'm guessing it's mostly before, but they're with family, and I know we always think that.
But there's always a family member that gets a little too messed up, right?
No, there's going to be people
you gotta be
that
want
to go out, but right after the draft, they're all going to be going to their cities for press conferences and all that stuff.
It's the night before that scares me, Joe. The top five pick the night before.
I don't think Vegas can be that bad.
Okay.
I mean, I think these guys are aware of everything. It's like coming down here. First thing they have, you know, is tell them about the clubs, and the guys go, we already know about them, like Club Live and all the other clubs. And
a lot of clubs in Vegas, a lot of things legal in Vegas that are not legal in other
places.
That
is true. That is,
you could walk out of a hotel in Las Vegas, go to the little store next, you know, on the strip that sells T-shirts and sells the tall cans of beer, and you could also walk out with edibles and a throwaway cartridge pen to smoke weed. Like, there's a lot going on in Vegas that doesn't go on in other places.
It's going to be fine. I know we make a big deal about
it. I'm excited. I think we should take a show trip there.
But, Vegas, I think it's going to be good for business. I got no problem with it. And by the way, everybody's, why did Vegas get this over other NFL cities? They're spending almost $1 billion on a new stadium and bringing a team in. And I don't think the Raiders had to put a whole lot of money into it, if any at all. So they're fine. So that they're in good shape. They just got to find a place to play for one more year till that sucker gets
done.
What's
going to happen there? That's crazy, right? That story is ridiculous.
Oakland has always had, and the Davis family have always had problems.
Mm-hmm.
They've been suing each other. This is not the first time the Raiders have left or threatened to leave.
That's right.
Both, right? Gone down and done the L.A. thing and been back and threatened to go other places. And meanwhile, you know, California's like, no, 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 hell no. We ain't building it on our own. We're about as broke as any state in this country. It ain't going to happen. You can just forget that. So they
might play in your city that you always talk about, a little Reno action. A little Reno, maybe at UNLV, one of those stadiums they have out there.
You know, it'd be funny if they just decide. I was thinking about this. We got to go to break. How funny would it be to see him go to, like, play one game all over the state? Like, go to San Diego for one
circus.
Game.
Yeah.
Go to Berkeley and play one game. Go up to Reno and play
That's
one
it.
Game. They could literally – UCLA would be out to play your stadium. Like, hey, the traveling Raiders.
Why not? At this point, why not?
I don't know if the league wants that.
No, of course they don't want that.
I am trying to figure out where the hell they'll be. We'll come back. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning as we continue on, man. All kinds of stuff going on here as a lot of stuff breaking yesterday. Rough night for the Miami Heat in Utah. And, of course, the other story is Manny Diaz, defensive coordinator of the Miami Hurricanes, is
no
on
longer.
His way to Temple to be the head coach.
Radio.com.
Supposed to run as long as he can until he can't go anymore, and then Drake's just supposed to stay in like option phase. We saw when I want to say like maybe Jared Zabransky might have he was trailing the play and it was the quarterback. And when we put it in, I think the first time we put it in might have been when Peyton was the quarterback, so we didn't think that was smart on our part. So we used the running back. I don't see a difference in the way they prepare, the way that they're – the focus. Like, I mean, when we're in our meetings, when we're on the road at the hotel, like, guys are wired in. You know, when we're at the opposing stadium, you know, the energy and the attitude – like, I don't see a drop-off in that, you know, just, like, there's two games we didn't finish. You know, that's a big swing.
Oh, those two games, it is a big swing. And it could be big off-season conversation when you look back and go, oh, my gosh. I remember the year before was the two home games. It was Oakland and Tampa Bay.
Mm.
And this year, the theme will be what happened when you went to Cincinnati, 17-0 lead, and then Green Bay up 24-14.
Oh, God, killers. Yeah. Both those are killers.
And by the way, I mean, these weren't the start of the game. These were third quarter scores.
No,
and,
worse.
Worse
than the start of the game.
Yeah.
Blowing the game at the end. Stupid plays, too, in the Cincinnati game. The two turnovers that led to touchdowns were just a big blown lead. Like, those are bad losses. And when it comes down to it at the end of the season, you look at the one game that could have got you in the playoffs, and you go look at both those games and go, ouch.
You were controlling them, and we're feeling pretty darn good there, and then they got away from you. So, but right now, it's all about Minnesota and trying to figure out a way to beat this underachieving team that the Vikings have been. I know they're banged up on their offensive line, but, boy, their skill position players are all the guys they've been all season long, the two wide receivers, the running backs, their tight end, and their quarterback, who they paid a lot of money, Kirk Cousins, to get. So that's going on. By the way, we had another football story come out. Former wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, Brandon Marshall, was released by the Saints. And I thought for sure, I really did, because they got a bunch of no-name wide receivers right now that you've got Drew Brees throwing to in New Orleans. And they let him go after a couple weeks. I was surprised, which tells me Seattle let him go, and they had some excuse, and now the Saints let him go. That's seven teams. And, of course, he was going to have a chance if he could have hung around with the Saints.
Finally got in the playoffs.
It was going to be the first time in his long career that he was going to make the playoffs. Not get to a Super Bowl.
No, just get in the playoffs.
Make
which
the
is
playoffs
so
for the first time.
It's weird. I had to look it up when you said it the first time. I figured at least once in those Denver days with Cutler, you know, when Brandon would catch 20 balls in a game, and that they at least made the wild card one year, and it never happened.
I thought so too. I literally went back to Denver and going, he had to make it at least once there. So ends up with 970 catches, more than 12,000 yards, and 83 touchdowns. I mean, that's one hell of a career. It really is. And the guy never went.
Surprising.
One playoff game.
Very surprising.
He didn't make a wild card.
No, it's one time. I couldn't believe it.
He didn't go to the playoffs once and lose. He didn't go, all right, we got in wild card. We got to go play. Oh, we lose by three touchdowns. Nothing. Yeah. He didn't get it. Seven teams, and he's looking good this year, because if he's still in Seattle, they're in really good shape at 8-5.
He wasn't feeling good after Dez Bryant got signed, but that only lasted about 4 hours.
Yeah, right. And then he got signed and was feeling good, and they went, nah, we're going to go ahead. So I don't know what's happened, but the Giants, Seattle, and the Saints has not been good in the last year and change so far for Brandon Marshall. But just a weird one. Next to all these numbers, he's going to have that. He's going to have that next to his name forever.
The donut, the playoffs.
He might be the best player to ever play a certain amount of years.
Ooh, to never make the playoffs?
To never make a playoff with any team. You're on seven teams and did not make the playoffs.
Now,
last two he got released from.
No, but that's an interesting have to look at that, because Brandon Marshall could be up there. He's got to be in that conversation.
It's just hard to imagine. There's probably somebody else out there.
But not sneak into the wild card spot, like you said. I'm not talking about being the number one seed.
No, you don't have to win your division.
Just
you could be a wild
card. Into the wild card at 8-8 or 9-7 one
year. Look at the way the Dolphins have done it.
Yeah.
The last 17 years, if they've gotten in, except for one AFC East that
they snuck in.
They won in. But, it's just it's an amazing number with it. It really is. So,
Brandon Marshall. Wow.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll get another shot with
I mean, he's done at this point, right?
Right. There's just something. I mean, they let him practice for a few weeks, and somebody finally said, listen, I mean, because
it ain't working.
It's just, I'm guessing he lost it physically a little
bit. Sure. Can imagine it happened.
Because if he was obviously could still play at a high level, and I know he works out hard and takes care of himself, but they got all those guys that, honestly, a couple years ago couldn't touch him.
Sure.
Couldn't touch him physically with his talents.
Not anymore, huh?
Yeah, no, that changed real quickly. So anyway, you know what's amazing? We talked about this before. Do you ever think, anybody out there ever think the NFL draft would be cut? Now, I was going back in the 80s where it wasn't that big a deal. It was 6 rounds the first day, 6 rounds the second day. That was it. You got a call, wasn't a big deal, couldn't really follow it on TV. You just kind of waited. You had some teams call, maybe 4 or 5 teams call you and say, hey, they're going to draft you. You okay? You excited? Yeah. Oh, no. Buffalo's a great place. First team called. Buffalo. Oh, yeah, I'd love Buffalo.
Is that the first team they called you?
Ever called me.
Wow.
And a handful of teams that worked me out. And you really didn't have any idea. It's not like today where you got 200 people reporting it and you social media and all
just
that
stick
stuff.
On Twitter. You know where you're going.
But I never thought. You know, it was in New York, but it was real small, like everything. And look what it is today.
Mm.
Matter of fact, has anything grown more than the NFL draft, especially since they moved it out in New York? Brilliant move, by the way.
Where's it been since New York? It's been in Nashville 1 year. It's been Philly 1 year. It's been Chicago 1 year.
Did Dallas get it? I think
Dallas
got it.
Dallas has had it.
Philly just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, they had a great deal.
I thought Philly just knocked it out. So,
but now Vegas, God.
They're going to have it. Yeah, so they're going to have it before Nashville gets it this year, and then Vegas will get it in 2020. But I saw the numbers on the amount of people. Like, they're going, hey, are you sure you're going to have enough hotel rooms? Because about 63% of the people coming are going to be coming from out of town.
Enough hotel rooms? That's the place for it, right?
No. Well, all those places. Oh, all the cities can handle it.
But in the middle of the strip?
Well, that's got.
Woo!
Listen, Vegas got enough hotels for everybody's events the same week.
Of course.
Right? I mean, they can handle everything. I'm just, I just never thought it would be this big. And I'm still blown away when I hear somebody say, hey, I'm taking my son, And we're going to Nashville for the weekend to watch the NFL draft. That's always, I get you want to see how your team does, and you get to see the players live as they come up. They want them all there, although a lot of them don't show up, but a majority of guys in the first and second round are there. But man, it's just,
I'm a draft nerd. I don't even know if I want to go to the draft.
I would skip. There's a lot of other things I'd rather spend my money on than going to the NFL draft.
I mean, Vegas is a cool trip for the weekend.
But they got a lot of stuff. They're going to have bands. Like, they're talking about all this stuff Nashville's going to do. They're going to have those bands.
You got to put a whole production together. That's fine. But, like, the draft, to me, as much as I am a draft dork, and I am, I want to sit and watch it on TV so I can, go through stuff.
The first round of the NFL
draft. Yeah, I love it. It's a lot of fun.
I love the second round of the NFL draft. I do. I like the top couple of rounds.
The first two nights are fun, even the third round.
They're all important picks, so you like to know.
Well, it's hope for your team. That's what it really is.
But, boy, just to go watch it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. And
I don't
and
mind watching it on
TV. And
that's
being nice. No, yeah. The coverage is unbelievable.
It's great, yeah. But going and like sitting in the stand. I've been to one draft. I've only been to one draft. I went to one draft and when it was at Radio City. It was the year that Eddie Moore got picked for this team. That was the and it was Anquan Boldin still on the board and guys like that. And I was there for it. I was bored out of my mind. I love the draft. I was bored out of my mind sitting there, and all the crazy Jet fans were sitting there, and there were Giant fans booing everything. It was, I mean, that's pretty cool, but. It's what are you gonna do? You just sit there and you watch the guys walk on.
Well,
the TV is bad enough to watch, but like
I
at
think
least
that's
they have fun
why
doing that.
They're doing a lot of other stuff.
They
now,
have to.
They want to add activities onto it, and hey, give us. They don't restrict people. You do your own flavor of whatever you want to do that your city's known for, and tie it into to the 3 days of the NFL draft. We got 7 o'clock hour coming up. Got a lot of stuff going on. Could we be looking in the near future? Finally getting to 8 teams for the college football playoffs. Could we be jumping from 4 to 8 teams? Please tell me it's right around the corner. We'll find out what everybody has to say about that potentially happen here real soon. We'll have all that for you coming up in just a minute. But first, always love telling everybody out there about my South Florida Chevy dealers. Yes, I'm a Chevy man. Yes, I love my Tahoe. I love it shined up and ready to go because I love all the space. I love that it's so comfortable. The safety features have just bailed me out of 250 accidents. It really is just an unbelievable from top to bottom. So much fun. And for the family, all that extra space. It's just a home run. I tell everybody, if you've never been in the Tahoe and you're looking for a nice big SUV that's got plenty of space and everything that you need, all the latest technology, the Tahoe really is the way to go. I got to tell you, with the holiday season coming up, they got some fantastic deals at your South Florida Chevy dealers right now. I mean, it's time to score big. It really is. And the products, well, they've never been better than they are right now. Whether you're looking for that new car, truck, or SUV, we got something for everybody in the whole family. And yes, everything important to you has always been important to your South Florida Chevy dealers at all 14 dealerships. Yeah, not just a great price and a great look. I love talking about the fuel economy. I love talking about the space and the new technology. Hey, maybe it's just getting more out of a tank of gas. Well, you can do it all at your South Florida Chevy dealers this holiday season. So while you're putting that list together right now, you need to get something new. The lease is about up. Make sure you stop by and take a test drive. You'll absolutely fall in love at your South Florida Chevy dealers.
Radio.com. Radio.com.